What is up, everybody, and welcome to the tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording on a Tuesday night. It is September 9th. This is episode 261. We're talking Texas Tech football again today. Texas Tech Red Raiders moving to 2-0 on the season after a dominating win over Kent State and Oregon State. The Beavers set to come to town this weekend, so we'll dive into the Kent State game real quick, and then we'll preview the Oregon State Beavers heading to town. So with all of that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin, well, the Red Raiders moved to 2-0 after a 62-14 victory over the Kent State Golden Flashes Saturday morning at 11 a.m. A little bit chilly, a little bit colder than I think everybody was expecting for kickoff of that game. In early September, we usually still have some heat, but Red Raiders get the job done on Saturday. What are your just overall thoughts on the game from Saturday morning?
You handled business really well once again. I mean, the first team was in all the first half, so maybe a little longer than what they did the previous week in game. And you had a 48-0 lead going into halftime. Both sides of the ball looked dominating once again. I mean, especially on the defensive end. they couldn't move the ball. I think they had one first down, what we remember.
They had negative yards up until like halfway through the second quarter.
Negative yards. They still had negative rushing yards going into the third. And, just super dominant up front for those guys. The offense looked just as good. Barron was, here and there with some throws, but I think that's just some kinks they got to work out. It was nothing like glaring that he missed, It's like very minor. Couple, Caleb didn't run the right route and he threw it out and Caleb sat, and little underthrown ball to TC down the sideline on that one wide, super wide open pass. But besides that,
I think he missed Coy on a wide open one too, but later made up for that one with a touchdown to
definitely.
Coy.
So like, more better than not. And so that's always a plus. And then, the second team did good. Second half, you saw some good things, especially out of like Adam Hill, your third string running back, and Hammond running the offense again. So overall, a great showing in game.
Yeah, Adam Hill, your third string running back, your first running back to cross the century mark in,
of course.
in a game this season. Of course, 127 rushing yards. I think Level was talking about this the other day, but he's like the third leading rusher in the Big 12 right now.
All right.
So that's your third string running back. Maybe see some more carries from him. This is what you expect from this type of game. It's good to see. I'm not going to take it for granted. After the last couple of years, these games didn't go this way. So thankful that we took care of business the way you're supposed to. When you're a good team, you're supposed to beat down on the teams that are you're way, way better than. And we've seen some fellow Big 12.
True.
Folks struggle with teams that you're supposed to beat. Army going into Kent State and winning. So I'm not going to apologize for beating up on these teams like we're supposed to. What are your thoughts on the first team? That's really what I want to focus on here. They played the majority of they played the entire first half. They played the entire first half of both games so far. A team has not put up a single touchdown on your first team defensive units. So far, your offense has put up 47 and 48 points in the first half. What are your thoughts so far on what you've seen from this first team on both offense and defense?
I mean, I kind of summed a little bit of it up, but I was also talking to somebody today and was like, I don't see a weakness right now. And that's incredible to say. I think our biggest weakness in that first team is our horse that leads us out onto the field.
And struggle. I'm pretty sure it's like it's his third season and he still doesn't know what the hell.
I made some waves on Twitter during the game. so but no, for real, like that front four is so dominating on defense that nobody can move the ball. Can't run it. You can't pass it. Quarterbacks just want to get the ball out of their freaking hand as fast as they can. Same with punters as well. And so you're just destroying people up front, and that is beneficial to the linebackers being able to move free. The secondary doesn't have to cover for as long and can jump some stuff also. And so
I saw somebody complaining that we only had like 3 sacks in that game, and I'm like, god damn,
that's because they try to just get it out as soon as they can.
I was like, the first two games I've been so impressed with the defensive line. Like, you and me just sit there watching, like, I think Romello Hyde's a favorite player right now. But I'm like, how are you complaining about this? Like, they're literally having to snap the ball and get it out so fast because the guys are just getting back there. The sack is an overrated stat, I think.
Yeah, the sack's not everything. The play disruption is off the charts with this group.
Yeah.
Like, that's where it's at. Like, you're breaking up plays almost before they even start, just because, I mean, we had a point there, I think it was second quarter, Romello Hyde disrupted 5 straight plays. Yeah. Think about that.
He was
that.
Just back there.
That's crazy.
It's like his whole drive.
And so, like, they're great. They're doing a great job up front. And then, speaking of up front, like, Barron has all the time in the world so far. I mean, we were joking.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes he's missing super wide open guys. I'm like, does he have too much time?
He's used to throwing under pressure.
He's not under pressure and in as much rhythm because he's got so much time for these plays to develop. So
he's got to overthink it a little bit, you know? It's like when you get that wide open 3-point shot, you think about it a little bit more because you're so
open. And, like, so far in the, like, skill guys, just real quick, like, Terrence Carter has been amazing. I see why everybody wanted him in the portal. He's been great for us, and so has Reggie Virgil as well. So we're loaded, but we've also played nobody but handled business super well.
Yeah, Terrence Carter and Reggie Virgil specifically, that last drive right before half, Terrence Carter has that huge play where he just like almost drugged two guys
in
the end zone for like 10 yards. He was just impressive to watch. And that was really fun because that's like right in front of our seats. So we got the like great view of just watching him drag those dudes. And then right after, Reggie Virgil just with the Moss just snag out of the air to pull in the touchdown with a pretty impressive drive there. So, yeah, I've been really impressed from the first team. Offense has been clicking very well. I think we'll get to a few of maybe the nitpicks here in a little bit, but I think so far you're seeing what you need to see from Barron. You're throwing the ball downfield. You're attacking these defenses. There's been some great just downfield threats. Your first touchdown, Barron completely juked all of us with this pump fake and then hit Reggie Virgil for a 35-yard touchdown, I believe. And so you're just kind of seeing this offense's ability to attack in a lot of different ways. Running the ball, throwing the ball, screens, using all the weapons that you have. I mean, I think we talked about this kind of going into the season. It's like your offensive, your receivers, it's going to be very sporadic in what they're doing. You haven't really seen any of them light it up completely yet, but it's just the ball's getting passed around to so many people. Like, you have so many different guys contributing. So their stats might look down, but you can still feel the effect from each one of these receivers out there. But first team's awesome. Shout out to the defense. It was funny. I was talking to my dad about it a little bit earlier today at lunch, and he was, you know, how they had negative yards, so they had that one little screen pass, and that broke free, and then that finally put him over in the positive total. And he's like, I'm pretty sure, like, the whole defense was just so pissed that they gave up those yards that right after was the pick six. And he was like, you know, that pick six, all four of your guys were back there. Skylar Gil Howard, Lee Hunter,
AJ,
David Bailey, and or whoever. Yeah, it's just everybody broke down on him. It had to be like horrifying for that quarterback to see all of those guys. And then Coach throws the pick six, Skylar Gil Howard racing down the sidelines. John Curry, I thought he was pretty awesome at that block. He also had a hard hit in the game. So pretty fun Saturday. So now that we've kind of seen this team play, it was a lot of hype from the offseason. Now we've gotten to witness them in action in two games. Of course, it's weaker opponents, but Just kind of curious if you've adjusted your thoughts on this team after the first two games, what you've seen across the Big 12 so far in these first 2 weeks, like kind of how have you reset or if you have reset, like what's caused you to?
Not like overall big picture, because I was already pretty high at like 10-2 and being in Dallas, but I mean, just how dominant it has looked with the first team this early is what's kind of impressive. Like we didn't even punt the ball until our 14th possession of the season.
I think it was either our 14th.
And we could have went for it there. Like, and I can't remember. Yeah. We chose to punt just to get a live punt going. And
got to give Jack Burgess some work.
Like,
you know?
Just like how much we have clicked with both sides of the ball has been amazing. And then, yeah, you've gotten a lot of good experience for some other guys as well. So, like, big picture, I haven't adjusted anything. Now, I'm not also going to start picking because we haven't played anybody. I'm not going to start sipping more Kool-Aid just because of that either. So, like, I think that Big 12 championship is well within reach and grasp and should be attainable, barring any like major injury.
Yeah. I'm kind of with you. I haven't really readjusted anything yet other than watching some of these other Big 12 teams that I thought might be problems kind of stumbling here out the gates has given me a little bit more reason to believe that we can really have a chance here to find ourselves in Arlington. I think I'm going to reserve my thoughts for after the Utah game for how I'm going to adjust everything. I think Oregon State coming up, and we'll talk about that, will be a big, you know, how do you handle this team? Obviously, they're not great either, but they are, you know, a step up in competition. So how do you go out, handle them, I think is going to be a key to seeing how this team is going to be. If you go out there and dominate again, like, all right, I'll be feeling pretty good about myself. But watching Kansas State kind of stutter out the gates, watching some of these other teams, you know, when you look at your schedule, you know, some of the other good teams right now that aren't on your schedule, like Baylor, Iowa State, TCU. So I think you got a real shot here. And I think that's the only thing I've adjusted is, seeing Arizona State and Kent State kind of falter this weekend's made me rethink those two games a little
bit. I was looking at that the other day also. Do you wish we had one or two of those teams on it so we could have something to do about it, you know? I do.
Yeah, me too. It's so weird. It was so weird because I was watching some of the Baylor-SMU game when I got back because I think that game was like at the end of the game, about to go to overtime. I watched some of the TCU North Carolina game, and I'm just sitting there watching them, and I'm like, man, it's so weird that they're not on the schedule this year. You know, it's just bizarre. I'm like, because I hate watching them, but at the same time, I'm like, we don't have to play them, so it doesn't really matter. But I don't like that. I wish we had at least one of them. It just feels weird. All right, any nitpicks with the performance? I there hasn't been a whole lot, and I really don't want to like go to the second team here. I want to go from like first team things that we've seen. I think I've got like two things that I'll nitpick here, and they kind of reared their head against Kent State. Special teams, penalties. Yeah. There was like three or four holding calls on returns that were pretty nice returns where Tristan Gentry was getting pretty good chunks of yards, and the balls didn't have to move back because of those penalties. I know Kenny Perry can't be happy about that. On the flip side, I mean, you've been causing chaos on the punt blocks, but the penalties on that have got to be cleaned up. And then it was like two times, but you struggled in some short yardage situations running the ball against Kent State, and I don't think that should happen. I think that's kind of where the first time where Quentin Joyner's loss has really reared its head. Not that it was like too bad of a deal, but you had the ball at the one, and it took you like four times to get the ball in. And that's just something that kind of got me thinking a little bit. You know, it's like, all right, how are we going to handle these in the future? I think we're being a little vanilla with the play calling there. I think we've got some other packages. I've heard some rumors about some things. So maybe we're just not spilling it all. But you know, those are the two things that I've kind of noticed so far.
Yeah, I mean, we noticed definitely the short yardage run because it was right in front of the end zone we sit at. And, I mean, yeah, it's nitpick for sure just because I think we were at the one and they just called halfback dive just to see if they could.
Yeah.
And
again,
kind of like on Tecmo Bowl, the Kent State defense also picked halfback dive and was ready for it. Yeah. So it got stuffed. And then as soon as you went off tackle and bounced it, he walked right in. So, like,
yeah,
maybe you don't run it right up the middle so much. Yeah. Whoop-de-doo. Like, yeah, noticed, but not a huge red flag.
Yeah, not a huge red flag yet. I think if it starts, if you see it happen a few times against Oregon State, you know, Utah will be the real first test on all that stuff. But it's definitely something, you know, like we're saying, we're picking nits here. It's not like major concerns when what you've done, but it's just a couple things that I noticed. But last week we failed to open up Club Red. I don't think, you know, it was Arkansas Pine Bluff, not much of an opponent. And so I didn't really feel like, you know, Club Red was worth opening last week. Maybe it's not really worth opening up this week, but we've got two dubs. So it's time to at least give some guys some shout out here. Cause it might be some guys we might not get to say their names a whole lot this time, this year, but let's go ahead and open up Club Red for the first time this season.
Somebody turn on some damn music!
All right, our first Club Red of the season as the cupcakes are now out of the way. Real competition starts. So if you want to mention somebody from the first two games, go ahead. We'll kind of make this both of those games combined into one here. For our first Club Red MVPs or VIPs of the season. Offensively, who are you going with, Dustin?
Terrence Carter, to me, is the easy answer. I've just – glaring person on the field on offense is him, like just size, speed. He is very open out there and has made a huge difference. So, like, he's my first 2 weeks offensive guy.
I'm going to go with the guy that might not get a whole lot of shout out. He might. Who knows? Adam Hill.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Adam Hill. You're leading rusher through the first two games, and he's been important because you needed to rely on him in these second halves when you're just trying to keep your first two guys healthy, not come up with any injuries, and he's been kind of shouldering that load. But it also might turn into him getting a little bit more looks in some of these games coming up because he's been impressing. So he broke the century mark in the last game, and your leading rusher so far. So wanted to give him a shout out while we have a chance here. Defensive side of the ball, which way are you going?
I think we have to go easy here also with the big man touchdown. Skylar Grill-Howard, one of your awesome D tackles we talked about last week, comes up with the tip pass, pick six for 55 yards. So not just a quick run down the field for him.
But he was moving pretty good. Somebody said he was going like 19 miles an hour.
He was hustling, man. And so, like, great awareness to be there, snag that ball, and automatically turn and go get the tutty. And like we've said, the pressure they've gotten up front, and he's part of that mix has been incredible.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to kind of roll along with you here. I'm just going to put the whole defensive line front in there just because – I've enjoyed watching Romello Height. I've enjoyed watching David Bailey. I've enjoyed watching Big Lee Hunter. Skylar Grill-Howard's already becoming one of my favorite players, so it was really cool to watch him get that pick six. So, and then it was A.J. Holmes who got the hand on the ball there that tipped it up. So we'll let him in too because he's been pretty impactful so far. So that whole defensive front's getting in for their performance so far because they've just been dominating and got to be terrifying to watch them if you're an offensive coordinator for other teams. So those are our first Club Red VIPs of the season. Hope to be opening up Club Red many, many times this season. So shout out to everybody for their performances in weeks 1 and 2. But now it's time to shift our focus to the Oregon State Beavers, who come to town this weekend. Oregon State coming in at 0-2 so far. They lost to former Pac-12 team California to start the season, and then lost to future Pac-12 team in Fresno State. Losing to Fresno State last weekend at home. I only saw one play from this game. Dustin, did you see the play that I'm talking about? The punt here, the punt in the Oregon State game?
Is that the one where he whiffed at like the 5 yard line?
He like whiffed. I think he like dropped it, whiffed, had to pick the ball up, and then just kicked it again. And then Fresno State just picked it up.
I did see that. I didn't know for a touchdown. What game it was. But yes, I did see that. Very embarrassing clip.
Yeah, that was Oregon State. So seeing that punt team there has got to be terrifying for them after what you've done special teams wise. But Texas Tech coming in as a 23.5 point favorite over the Beavers. Dustin, your thoughts on taking on the Beavers here at the Jones this Saturday?
Yeah, you mentioned it the intro on two disappointing losses to start. You know, they were hoping to be a really good, not group of five team, but you know what I'm talking about, kind of. Yeah. I mean, they paid a lot for former Texas quarterback Malik. He had a good year at Duke last year as well. We have played him a little bit a few years ago when he was at Texas. Massive human being, good athlete. So it'll be fun to play a good quarterback that knows what he's doing, at least.
Yeah.
Two disappointing losses. Cal is supposed to be very down this year, and they look okay. And Fresno loss looks terrible. So let's keep them down. Let's start very quick and jack them up very fast and just don't even give them a glimpse of hope and have this game wrapped up by the first quarter and then just beat them down from there.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a disappointing start for them. They probably not going to be feeling themselves. They're going to be coming into a Jones that's going to be full of people ready to see us play a team with a pulse and see what this team looks like. I think the Jones is going to be pretty amped up on Saturday. Got a good 2:30 kickoff, yes, which is a great time for a kickoff. And so, yeah, I think, I mean, this is kind of where you really prove yourself kind of what team I think you can be. Are you going to be a dominating team that can come in and beat an inferior opponent that's got better athletes, that's got, you know, a guy who's played at Texas and at Duke, who's played big conference ball? Coming in here, can you shut him down? Can you shut down their running game? Can you continue to do the things you're doing defensively? And can you continue to move the ball offensively? I think these are the things I'm just looking for. Does offense all of a sudden struggle now that they're playing a defense with the pulse? Does the defense struggle now that they're playing an offense that has more athletes and a little bit more of a pulse than what you've seen so far this year? So I'm really curious to see how this team keeps things going, and if they're able to do so and go in and dominate this game, like, I mean, we're going to be all feeling pretty good about ourselves as we head into Utah with the big one around the corner. I hope we don't catch ourselves looking ahead. I know today on Twitter, I've seen a lot of folks looking ahead to Utah next week. That's where you catch yourself slipping sometimes. So hopefully we're focused. I think the coaching staff's always pretty good at doing that. So I don't expect us to be looking ahead, but yeah, it'll be kind of fun to see the Oregon State Beavers here. I know they're not like a great program.
It's a new team, though.
Lots of history, but it's a new team that we haven't seen at the Jones before. So that's probably the main thing that I'm excited for, is to see a new squad roll into the Jones, and hopefully for our Red Raiders to just beat the living hell out of them on Saturday and do some damage and send those Beavers to 0-3. I guess that kind of covers everything. Anything else you're looking for against our first, you know, real opponent in your last tune-up before Utah and Big 12 play begins?
Yeah, just that quarterback play I was talking about, seeing what a guy that knows what he's doing can do. How can we get him off his spot? And he's got some size also, so like he might bounce off some tackles. Can we make sure we get him to the ground or mess him up? And how did the secondary play against an actual quarterback as well? Cause they haven't had to at all. I think it's a big test for them as well.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see what the play calling is going to be like for them. Are they going to be like Kent State and Arkansas Pine Bluff too, and just do a lot of things to try to get the ball out of his hands really quickly?
You don't have an option. You really don't.
I'm just curious. Yeah. I'm wondering though, because you know, at some point they're going to want to take a shot. I'm just fairly curious to see what it looks like against, you know, a bigger offensive line, because you know, really the first two offensive lines you played, really not much. So you know, that's going to be interesting to see him play a little bit better.
And the last thing that people might not be noticing, just looking on paper at this, we're probably going to play the first team all the way through.
Yeah,
the whole game. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're not playing first half or third quarter football here. We're playing another D1 power team. We have only played a half of football, you know, twice. Like, we got a real team next week. We kind of need to make sure we're in shape and ready. And I'm sure everybody's full go for four quarters here.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Glad you brought that up, is the first time that you're going to get to see these guys play 3-4 quarters. And so maybe you beat them so bad you get Will Hammond in there.
Yeah, that'd be great. If we're up, you know, 40 plus in the third, fine. Like, going into the fourth, like, fine. But
if you're putting belt to ass like Oregon did to Oklahoma State, then yeah, let's do it. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to just getting to see this team actually kind of, you know, play a little bit more. You know, it's been fun watching them dominate in the first halves and get to sit the bench, but I want to get to see Romello Height play for four quarters. I want to get to see Reggie Virgil and Terrence Carter do their thing for four quarters and see what it really looks like from start to finish and how this team plays, not just two quarters, but four quarters. So that's really, yeah, just keep the consistency up. I think that's what, you know, the one thing that we're always really key on is, you know, that consistency from start to finish, from drive to drive, and just being able to put it out there for 60 minutes and see what happens. So it's going to be a fun one on Saturday, ready for the Red Raiders to play a you know, I'll put parentheses on it, real opponents. You know, it's still not a great team, but you'll find out a little bit more about yourself on Saturday. So we haven't done it yet this season, but let's make some Tailgate Talks bets for this game. The spread is Texas Tech minus 23.5. Dustin, are you going Texas Tech? Are you going Oregon State?
I'm hammering the Red Raiders with that.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that I feel like we're going to show out this week. I feel like we're going to really show out this week. The only thing that'll concern me, if it's under this, I'll be a little bit concerned because I think we're just so much better than them. If Fresno State's going into their home and beating them, I think this is a team that we should beat by like 30, 40 points. The first half spread, Texas Tech minus 13.
Oh, God.
Texas Tech holds the 13. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was like, damn. I guess when it's 23.5 total, like, that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know who's making up these numbers. I would think 23.5 is the first half number. So that's my opinion there.
Yeah. I think it's like a 21 point first half lead minimum. It's kind of where I'm feeling on this one. If I'm wrong on these, then I'll maybe need to readjust some of my stuff. But that's just kind of how I feel watching this team so far. Over under 62.5. Over
that's funny. So I told you I don't have my computer, so I'm not looking at the script, and I wrote down a score already, and it's right on that line. So I guess I will have to take the under on the points.
What's your so I'll go ahead and I will let you give out
the score. Wrote down, and I fully believe this, if we are clicking and rolling, 52-10. Oh, wow, is right. I'm getting crazy.
I haven't done a score prediction yet, so let me think about this, and then I'm going to have to add it up to see what it comes up to.
While you're doing that, like, we have had a field goal every game, maybe two, can't remember, but a couple field goals here and there, so, like, don't forget about that. But the defense just been so dominant. I don't see Malik Murphy getting that many touchdowns and whatnot.
Yeah. Man, I'm kind of like with you on this. I'm feeling like either like 49-13 kind of range, but also I just feel like offensively, I kind of want to be just more aggressive and say we go over.
Go, yeah, do it.
I'm going to go over, and I'm going to say we almost get to 60 again. I'm going to go 58.
Like it.
58-13. 58-13. So we're both kind of similar. I went over, you went under here. I hope for ass kicking.
Yeah, exactly.
Fun. Here's a prop bet I found. I thought this would be fun to throw in here. Field goals made.
Oh, I was just talking about this. Over, awesome.
Over under 1.5. What you got?
Technically, I have the over, so I like that.
Yeah. I think I have. I don't know how many I have with my score.
I got one for each on my score count.
I think I mean 59. I need 59-13 because that means two field goals for me. Or that means one field goal for me. So I'm going under. So Dustin's going over. And I am going under on the field goals. All right. So to recap, our tailgate bets for Texas Tech, Oregon State spread, Texas Tech -23.5. Both of us got Texas Tech covering the 23.5 points. First half spread, Texas Tech -13. Both of us have Texas Tech covering the 13 points at half. Over under 62.5. Dustin's going under with a score of 52-10. So right under at 62. I'm going over with a score of 59-13. Field goals made over under 1.5. Dustin's going over. I am going under. So that wraps up our tailgate bets for Texas Tech versus Oregon State. Dustin, any other Texas Tech football thoughts you have on anything Tech related or Tech Oregon State? Are you good?
No, I'm good. Look at your seating chart, guys. I think we have the half red, half black game. Or half white? I don't remember. We're in the red area. I think it's on.
We're in the red. West. Yeah, I think the other side is
white. Look at where you're sitting. Yeah. What color you got to wear?
We are red as always. We always got to wear red. Like if it's a color event for some reason, we're always in the red.
2025. We've been all football, red.
It's been red. Coming up red. So, yeah, wear your right color, red, white. Show up Saturday, get out there, tailgate, have a good time. Show up 2:30 for a football game against the Pac-12, Oregon State, Pac-2. All right, but before we get out of here for the week, let's go ahead and do our final shots for the week. Dustin, your final shot, what you got?
Just quick NFL kind of recap. Cowboys didn't look as bad as we thought. But I wouldn't take that for much. I think they're still going to really suck. I think they're just kind of getting up for that first game. Everybody's talking crap about them type situation. So
their best, the Eagles' best defender gets ejected before the game starts.
So don't expect much there. Dolphins look super crappy. Brutal. For the Saints Dolphins. Uniforms were very bad. And
yeah.
Bears collapse like usual. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty fun Sunday night and Monday night
the
games.
Ravens Bills.
Dude, I went to bed thinking that was over, and then I woke up in the morning and I was like, what, the Bills won? Yeah. Holy shit. Crazy. Anytime you get Josh Allen, Lamar, you're going to have a great game. And then, last night was just kind of funny to watch, like, the Twitter unfold, like, the first half of, like, oh, my gosh, Ben Johnson. JJ McCarthy's horrible. And then the second
fourth quarter,
half,
just JJ completely showed
oh
up.
My gosh. JJ McCarthy balling out, changing everybody's thoughts of him. So this is kind of funny. Yeah, it was so much fun to have football back in our lives. College football Saturday, watched NFL Red Zone on Sunday, just enjoyed all of it, except for my fantasy players who were just terrible. It was like a weird week one of fantasy. I feel like everybody just kind of like average. Below average performances. There wasn't anybody that was like really dominant in week one. So it's kind of a boring first week of fantasy football. But I don't really have anything other than I'm just enjoying all the football being back in our lives. NFL, college football. It's a good time of year. And excited to keep watching the Red Raiders, excited to keep watching everything unfold this upcoming season. So hope you guys enjoy your weeks, enjoy your weekends, enjoy your tailgates for Texas Tech and Oregon State. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate.